So good to be with you this morning and excited to see what God does today. Amazing way to get the day going, isn't that right? Baptism, I mean, I love it. And so praise God for the work that he's doing in Joseph's life and Gabby's life. Hey, every single time we do a baptism, just be thinking about these individuals throughout the week as they've made this public declaration of their faith. One of the things we can do as a church family is be praying for them as they continue on their relationship with God. So just loving the work God's doing. Loving what you saw up there with South Africa going on over in South Africa. That individual's name is a guy named Kay. K-H-E-K, amazing man of God. That's encouraging. Is that not awesome? So this is an incredible partnership we have with Hope to Africa, and love what God's doing. I just love what God's doing in the life of our church. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 25 today, looking at one of Jesus's parables, one that I'm sure many of you have heard. If not, I know you're going to love the story. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to read 14 to 30. Back at it with the long passages. So read with me, but you'll love this one. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey. He called his own servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, depending on each one's ability. Then he went on a journey immediately. The man who had received 5 talents went, put them to work, and earned 5 more. In the same way, the man with 2 earned 2 more, but the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents approached, presented 5 more talents, and said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I've earned 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge over of many things. Share your master's joy." The man with 2 talents also approached him. He said, "Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I've earned 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." The man who had received 1 talent also approached and said, "Master, I know you. You're a harsh man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." His master replied to him, "You evil, lazy servant. If you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and I would have received my money back with interest when I returned. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have more than enough. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw this good-for-nothing servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Let's pray. God, we're grateful for what you have already done today as we are gathering for worship. And we are asking that you would now please speak to us through the preaching of your word, that your spirit would speak and move in our lives today as we continue looking at what it means to be good stewards of what you've entrusted us with. I pray that we would open our hearts and minds to what you're wanting to say today. We need you, and so we're asking that you would please speak. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, more like 9 years ago, our first child was born, Piper. And Kelly and I thought we were decent with our money at the time. This cost exponentially more than what we were ever expecting it to cost. And it really freaked us out. And I mean, like, it was over $5,000 that we were coming out of pocket. Something happened with insurance, and we had the baby at the wrong hospital. It was a mess. Not our fault, their fault, but we still had to cover it, right? Definitely not my fault. So we started reading up on the FPU, Financial Peace University, Dave Ramsey stuff, and just went crazy with that. Big fan of Dave Ramsey's philosophy of how to handle money. And in FPU, and just reading the book, we learned more about the power of compound interest. This is powerful, right? I didn't know nothing about it when we were young and learned a lot about compound interest. And here's kind of how compound interest works. If at 20 years old, you invested $13,700, and I know you're like, at 20 years old, I didn't have that. I get it. Just play along with it. 20 years old, you're like, I've randomly have $13,700. You put it in an account or some type of retirement account and let it sit for 45 years. You don't touch it. As long as you get around 10% return annually, you're gonna have $1 million sitting there when you turn 65. Isn't that amazing? And then if you had $500 a month starting at 20 years old, you put $13,700, you add $500 a month into this account, and as long as you on an annual basis receive 10% return on your investment, $5.3 million in your retirement account. This is the power of compound interest. We learned about this. It's amazing. I got a long way to go till I'm at $5.3 million, but Lord willing, one day we'll be there, right? So the whole point of this, though, is just a little gradual investing in retirement over a long haul. If you're faithful with it and you look the really long distance, way out in the distance, just ever steady investing, man, it grows. It's amazing, huge. That gradual little bit of faithfulness makes a huge difference. I read a book over this last month called Gradually Then Suddenly by Mark Batterson, a church member here, gave me this book, amazing book. I love a lot what's happening over where he's pastoring up in D.C. And in that book, he talks about the butterfly effect. Has anybody heard of the butterfly effect? Anybody else? Okay, the butterfly. That means you make one little slight adjustment with something, and over the long haul, it can make a really big difference. And the whole concept is, the example scientists use is, there's a butterfly flapping its wings in Brazil, it could eventually cause a tornado in Texas. Well, it's not actually possible, but the whole point is that one little tiny change can have a huge, huge impact. Here's the reason I bring all of this up. We've been talking about things that God entrusts you with, right? We've talked about time, we've talked about money, we've talked about gifts. And sometimes we can be guilty of saying, well, I don't really have a lot of time. I don't really have a lot of money, or I've looked at my giftings. I've looked at myself. I am not that cool of a person. And so I don't have a lot of money. Therefore, I'm really not going to invest anything in the kingdom of God because it's not going to make that big of a difference. Or I don't have a lot of time on my hands, so I'm just not going to give any time to God because it's not going to make that big of a difference. Or my giftings don't look as good as the person next to me. Or I've already served my time. That's a dangerous one. And so I'm not really going to do anything because it doesn't really matter. And I just want to point you to the power of taking what little you think you have, investing it in the kingdom of God, and the massive ripple effects of your faithfulness can have for the kingdom of God. But a lot of us, we kind of really stop anything we're doing. And there's great damage to that, because when you take your giftings and you hold them, like we just talked about, this guy who had the one talent, didn't do anything with it, just kind of hid it, no ripple effect of faithfulness there, no kingdom expansion there. And this is what we're really running in danger of when we take what little or a lot we have and don't do anything with it. We all know in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, don't store up treasures on earth, because those things get destroyed. Store up treasures in heaven, and those things will not get destroyed. What are treasures in heaven? Treasures in heaven is humility in your character, obedience to God, souls won for Christ, gradual, steady faithfulness. These are things, any treasures in heaven are anything that you can take with you beyond the grave. So newsflash, the money that you have, you can't take that with you beyond the grave. It stays there, right? But treasures in heaven, they're everlasting. So we have all these amazing gifts and abilities in the room. And the question that you really have to ask yourself is, are you using what God has entrusted you with fully for his glory? That's the whole theme of this series, has been taking what God has entrusted us with and investing him in the kingdom to store up treasures in heaven. What are you doing with what God has blessed you with? So today we're going to talk about the reality that there is a coming king. He's coming back, praise God. And when he comes back, and he sees what you've done with what he has given you, what is going to be your response? Big idea is, live faithfully in light of the coming king. Live faithfully in light of the coming king. Number one, God entrusts you with resources and abilities. That's sort of a review for many of you who were with us on week one. You know, Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks about the end times and the second coming. Then in chapter 25, right before this section, he tells this parable of 10 virgins and talks about the importance of being alert and ready for the second coming when Jesus returns again. And today we're gonna look at what readiness looks like. Readiness is living faithfully in light of the coming king, and we're really reinforcing that God is the one who entrusts you with the certain resources and abilities you do have. We see that in verse 14, where Jesus, in this parable, he says, for it is just like a man about to go on a journey. He called his own servants and entrusted his possessions to them. The kingdom of God is likened to this man going on a journey. He has servants. He gives his servants some stuff, his stuff. And it's really pointing to that everything that we have belongs to God. Do y'all remember the quote I said at the beginning of the year? If it is, it's his. That wasn't my quote, not original to me. Another pastor said it. If it is, it's his. God entrusts you with his property. It's not your property. The time, the money, the energy, the resources, the giftings and abilities that you have, it all comes from God and continues to belong to God. Verse 15 is very important, though. Verse 15, he says, to one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2 talents, to another he gave 1 talent, depending on each person's ability. 5, 2, and 1. A talent today would be worth, and there's a lot of different estimates out there, it'd be worth around $350,000. So you get the picture that the guy who got 5 got a lot, but it's not like the guy who got 1 got nothing. He got a lot. This is just a story. It's just a parable with a point to it. But the point is the magnitude of the trust placed in each servant's hands, from the smallest to the largest. They all received a significant amount of money from their master. They received a lot, and it was according to their ability. The master knew what each of his servants were going to be able to handle. I don't know what was going through Jesus' mind when he was telling this parable, but I would imagine if it's a real story, the master looked at the guy who got 5, was like, well, this guy has shown that he's good at investing money, so I'm going to give him more. The guy who got 2, I'm going to give him a little bit less, but he's still decent. The guy who got 1, maybe he's new to investing, so I'm just going to give him 1 because he's still learning. But the reminder is that God has entrusted you with so many resources and abilities, and it's according to what he knows about you, what you can handle. But we have this problem of playing the comparison game and being envious of those around us, thinking, well, if I had what they had, if I had the family they had, if I had just fill in the blank, life would be so much better. Then if I had more money, then I would invest, right? We do this all the time. I went surfing this past Wednesday. And it's not that I'm some amazing surfer. I'm terrible, by the way. Wednesday, and it was a new thing I picked up last summer. Went surfing early in the morning. Waves were decent and caught a few. But then when I go surfing, there's a lot of, I call them body slams. A lot of body slams happen to me when out there. Any surfers in the house know what it's like to get body slammed. It's terrible. And so a lot of body slams happening. But when we were out there on Wednesday morning, there were these 2 guys on shortboards, and they were shredding. That's the phrase that the surfers use, right? I'm trying to like sound cool, right? They were straight up shredding. And then it's actually with Pastor Chris, there's me and Chris getting body slammed. And I always wonder if the shredders notice the guys, I just call them body slammers, if they notice. But here's how I find myself. I'm out there, and you do kind of feel like an idiot, you know, when you're getting body slammed over and over again, not taking advantage of the waves. And I find myself thinking like, man, a couple thoughts. One, I wish I had started when I was younger. Like, what a strange time to start surfing. And then secondly, just a little bit envious. Like, I wish I could surf like these guys. Like, it would be so cool, you know? Like, Kelly comes out to watch and her husband's just shredding like Kelly Slater. And that's the only surfer I know, by the way. But shredding it up, right? But then I tell myself, well, at least I'm out here. You know, at least I'm taking advantage of the waves that are here, these beautiful waves that God's given us. I'm still walking. You know, I can still stand up on a board. So at least I'm using what I have, the little talent I do have, for a little bit of fun, and I'll tag along when I definitely should have been working. But that's the life of a pastor, right? We only work Sundays. But the point is taking advantage of what we do have. And so the question I got to ask you is, do you ever feel envious? Do you ever look around at other people in your life and it's like, man, I wish I had their talent. I wish I had their money. I wish I had been saved as long as them. And I'm just wanting to point out what this parable is wanting to bring to light, that God has given you exactly what he believes you can handle, what he wants you to have. And your job is not to play the comparison game and think, well, this person's got better circumstances than me. This person has more money than me. This person's more gifted than I am. And if I only had what they had, then I would invest in the kingdom like they do. It's easy for them. Ever said that? If I had their life, that'd be real easy to live for the kingdom of God. But God's given you so much. You know, we said at the beginning of the year, like, if you're living and breathing and you came in the room today, praise God, you have life. You have life. And I know this is hard for some of you here because life is incredibly difficult at times and you feel like nothing's working out for you right now. But I still want to call you to the importance of taking what you do have and using that for kingdom expansion. Don't play the comparison game. Don't play the game that my circumstances are so bad, so therefore I cannot invest in the kingdom of God. That doesn't exist in Scripture. There's nowhere you will find in Scripture that says, be faithful with what God has given you, be a good steward of what you have, only if everything's great, only if everything's perfect, only if you have a lot of money. No, that doesn't exist. It's God's given you so much, and whatever he has entrusted you with, he is trusting that you're going to be a good steward of that. You know, in this parable, we got the one guy who turns 5 into 10. We got the one guy who turns 2 into 4, and we have the one guy who turns 1, who has 1 and turns it into nothing, just buries it. What are you doing with what God has entrusted you with? Are you putting what God has entrusted you with, investing that in the kingdom of God, or are you like the man who took the one, buried it, and you're refusing act of faith, which is really just a decisive act of unfaithfulness? Living faithfully in light of a coming king is measured by how faithfully you pursue obedience with what God has entrusted you with. So stop looking around at what everyone else has and what everyone else is doing. Look at what God has given you and ask yourself, how can I leverage and use and steward what God has entrusted me with for the kingdom of God? Because he's trusting you with that. Secondly, God calls you, piggybacking on what we just said, God calls you to faithfulness, not results. God calls you to faithfulness, not results. I joked last week that if I get to heaven and I'm rated based off my conversion rate, that is the amount of times I see people come to know Christ with the amount of times I share the gospel, I would fail utterly. But God's not looking to see the results of our faithfulness. He's just calling you to be faithful. And we see this in 29 to 33. I have to have this listed wrong. Excuse me. Hold on one second. I'm looking where I am. What's the text? Can y'all put the text up on the screen? Okay, 19 to 23. I have really in my notes 29 to 23. Thank you. After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents approached, presented 5 more talents, and said, "Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I've earned 5 more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." The man who had 2 talents also approached. He said, "Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I've earned 2 more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." Again, God's calling you to faithfulness, not results. The master returns after a long journey, and the day of reckoning is here. And the question is, what will the master find? And what he finds is that 2 of the servants have increased what he has given them by 100%. And he says the same thing to them both. They tell him, "Hey, we took what you gave us, what is yours, and we doubled it. We doubled it. We doubled what you gave us. We doubled your money." And the emphasis is on what the master gave them and the faithfulness that followed. They didn't say, "We took what is mine and we doubled it since you gave it to me." No. It says, "We took what is yours and this is how we stewarded it." This is the heart of a steward. And the master praises the servants the same. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy." It's the same response. The master delights in the faithfulness of the servants. They were proven trustworthy in the task assigned. Equal praise regardless of the results. It's a crucial lesson to be learned. God is looking at your heart of faithfulness. He's looking to see if you're faithful with what he has given you. He's not measuring the absolute size of the gain of what he has given you, but proportionate faithfulness with what he has entrusted to you. I don't know if you've ever noticed the restroom scents on campus. And I don't know if you noticed recently that there was a restroom scent change. Did anyone of you notice change the smell? We think about this stuff, right? We changed companies to that company called, and I should have looked up how to pronounce the name. I hope I don't look like an idiot saying it. The Ecos, is that how you say it? Ecos. See? Should have looked it up. Well, Ecos, the company, sent us the wrong scents last December. The box got opened up and we realized they sent us the wrong scents, not what we ordered. And it was like $60 worth of scents. So I emailed the company, hey, you sent us the wrong scents. And I was very kind about it. And this guy named Rock responded. Not the Rock, but his name's Rock. Works in sales at Ecos. And he was like, Gabe, this is right. Real on, man, we're so sorry. This is not the type of company we are. We are going to make this right. Can you please send me a picture of what we sent you? And I was like, absolutely, I'll send you a picture when we get in the office. And I go and send him a picture when we get to the office. And look at what, this is what he responded to me. I was like, this dude, this is legit. All right, this is what Rock responded. The Ecos guy working sales somewhere out west. David, huge thank you. And the huge thank you is all caps. All right, David, huge thank you, all caps, for not only sending these, but for your patience and understanding. This is all happening day of. I'm like, dude, you're, okay. I have already packed up and will ship all of your items today. Please let me know should you ever need anything. My goal is to serve and support. Serve one another humbly in love. Galatians 5:13, he quotes. And then he added this after I was like, this guy is nuts. All we need is just the green apple, not the purple berry that you sent us. I said, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. He adds this. You are most welcome, and I will add you to my prayers today. Yeah. What a pleasant experience with this guy named Rock, who clearly has a gift in customer service. But he's using his gift, with this customer service gift, in the job that he has been given, restroom scent guy. Like, you're not putting that on a resume. What do? Sales. Where? Pharmaceutical rep? No. Restroom scents. He's using the giftings he has in customer service and the job that God has entrusted us with, trusted him with, for kingdom purposes. And insert compound interest in the butterfly effect because you're hearing about it today. Rocks using how God has gifted him is now being talked about this morning. Then you think about a guy named Billy Graham. Let me give you some Billy Graham numbers. One of the greatest evangelists to ever walk this planet. Billy Graham, an estimated 2.2 billion people heard him preach. An estimated 215 million people heard him preach the gospel at live events. An estimated 2.2 million people responded to the gospel invitations. An estimated 185 nations and territories is where Billy Graham preached. Billy Graham used his gifts and resources for kingdom impact, and I can assure you, when Billy Graham faced Jesus, he was welcomed with a "well done, my good and faithful servant." But let's go back to Rock, who's still living. I'm certainly not wishing his death. We need this guy, right? Rock will face Jesus one day. And you know what's not going to happen? Jesus isn't going to look at Rock and go, you know what? Oh, what was your job? Restroom sense. Okay. You're not going to be over here with the rich and famous and the Billy Grahams and the Charles Spurgeons and the fill in the blank. You're going over here with the restroom people. No, no, no. Jesus is going to look at Rock and tell him the exact same thing. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Thank you for using what I entrusted you with for kingdom impact. God's calling you to faithfulness, not results. And I know you may look at your situation and think, I'm not that gifted. And I can assure you the guy next to me is so much better at speaking or sharing the gospel or with people. God's not concerned about your results. He's concerned about your faithfulness. And too often we get so inward focused, and I can't do it. I just want to remind you, if you're thinking that this week, you remind yourself there's a guy named Rock out there who's doing kingdom things in a restroom scent company. Isn't that legit? God's simply calling you to be faithful to what he's given you. There's two applications for this. To those who don't think they have much, just remind yourself everything you've been given is a gift from God. Use it for his glory. Give all that you have to God for kingdom purposes. Be faithful with what he has entrusted you with. But then to those of you who are richly blessed, and there's some of you in the room as well, I would encourage you, do not settle. Sometimes what looks like faithfulness to God is really just this habit we've gotten into over the years. So inwardly, it's just this is what you've always done. And through that time, you've put a cap on how God wants to use you. Till the day that you die, your calling is to take everything you have and use it for kingdom purposes. Don't cap God at a certain amount of time or money that you are willing to spend or love that you are willing to show. The call to take what you have and be faithful with it, your service matters to God. And some of you may say, well, nobody even sees what I'm doing. Again, that could be rock. Nobody sees. God sees it. God sees what rock's doing. I keep wanting to say the rock. It could have been, which that would have been cool. God sees what you're doing. He sees your heart. He sees exactly what you are doing with what he has entrusted you with. Don't concern yourself with the results. Just be faithful. Thirdly, God reveals the reality of your faith through your faithfulness. God reveals the reality of your faith through your faithfulness. I don't know if you noticed, but the scene shifts dramatically with the third servant. He offers up an explanation to the master for his lack of disobedience. He's like, well, I want to explain to you why. This is basically summarizing what he said. Master, I know you're a harsh man. You're expecting no loss. You are strict. You are cruel. You are merciless. So out of fear, I hid your talent so I could return it to you. This was a distorted view of the master, and this echoes a common error in the church today. Distorted view and bad thoughts of God. I don't know if you've ever thought bad thoughts about God to the point that they held you back from faithfully serving him. I would imagine every single person in the room at times has been held back for how they serve the Lord because of the bad thoughts that we create in our head about him. That's what held the servant back. Some of you may have thought your way works better, and if you attempt faithfulness like what Scripture's teaching or like what you're seeing it's teaching, it would make your life worse. So here's something I want you to hear. God is loving, he's merciful, he's full of grace, he loves you, he knows you, and he understands you, and he knows exactly what he has put on your plate. He knows exactly what he has gifted you with, and he's calling you to be faithful with it. Don't fall into the trap of making excuses for why faithfulness isn't in your story right now. Don't fall into the trap of fear-driven religion that aims at self-protection rather than faithfulness. Fundamental truth of stewardship we all must understand is that what has been entrusted to us must be used. Let's finish off in 26 and 30. His master replied to him, and again, this is harsh, but hear the word of the Lord. His master replied to him, you evil, lazy servant, if you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers and I would have received my money back with interest when I returned. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents, for to everyone who has more will be given and he will have more than enough. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw this good for nothing servant into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Severe response. He rejects the explanation, excuses, and ultimately exposes the true nature of his failure. It's a tragedy. But I hope you see what the master points out to the servant. The tragedy isn't that he failed to have results. The tragedy is that he didn't even try. He chose inactivity. And the master acts decisively. He says, your talent, that one talent's going to the 10 who did something with it. And then he tells the guy, like, dude, all you had to do was try. All you had to do was try. In the kingdom of God, if you refuse to use your gifts, you ultimately forfeit those gifts. But if you use your gifts will grow and deepen. This applies first to life on planet Earth. Both God is both merciful and he's gracious. He's patient. He's loving. and he's frequently offering you renewed opportunities for repentance and obedience. Yet there comes a point where persistent refusal to act reveals the condition of your heart, and judgment will come. And the master tells the servant, you're going to where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a warning to professing believers. It's not teaching salvation by works. No, eternal life is by grace alone through faith. But scripture does teach consistently that saving faith is never barren. True faith will express itself in obedience, and being faithful with what God has given you. And professing faith in God that produces no fruit exposes an empty faith. The line between faithfulness and faithlessness is not drawn by how gifted you are, by how successful you are, by how much money you have, but whether you are faithfully using what God has given you for his glory. You know, when we're in this series talking about being entrusted, very often, this is a very common thing that we'll do. We'll say, like, if you just take something like money, it's the common thing. Well, I'm going to be generous when I have more, right? When I have more, that's when I'm going to just, I'm assure you, Lord, you give me that pay raise, then I'm going to kick in my generosity. Or when I have more time, or when my kids get a little older, or when my kids are out of the house and I'm going to serve of my time. Or we'll swing around as you get older and older and older and say, well, I've already served my time. Again, none of these things are in scripture. God doesn't say when you have a certain amount of time, money, energy, then you're going to kick in the faithfulness. And God definitely doesn't say once you've served your time, rest and retire and enjoy life. No, we're called to rest in Jesus and enjoy him forever while faithfully serving along the way. Where do you fall in this category of being a good steward of what God has given you? We are to live faithfully in light of a coming king, and he is coming back. And so I just want to call us to take whatever you have, whether it's a lot or a little. Recognize that it's still so much. Can you hear that story of the talents, 5, 2, and 1? Think, oh, the guy who got one got gypped. No, he got $350,000. That's still so much. So whatever you're gifted with, whatever you have, man, take it, use it for his glory, and watch the ripple effect of God's faithfulness, your faithfulness, the impact it will have on the kingdom. Let's pray. God, we are grateful. We're grateful for what you have entrusted us with. So much, that's so much. Everything we have is yours. And I pray that we would just be faithful with what we have. Pray for the ones who really haven't even begun to scratch the surface of using what they've been entrusted with for your glory. I pray that they would start today. They're likely thinking of things right now. I pray for the ones who have been faithful, but maybe they'll look and thinking, man, I've gotten to just some rhythms and I'm not even thinking about it, and I could be doing so much more for the kingdom, investing so much more of what I have for the kingdom. God, would you speak to their hearts? You could come back today. You could come back today. We're grateful for this day we have. May we use it for your glory. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Just a reminder, this is all centered around the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came. He lived the life you couldn't live, perfect in every way. He died a death you deserved because of sin. He died a death that you deserved. He rose again, conquering sin and grave and an enemy that you were never going to be able to conquer. And he's extending his grace to you today. And we would love nothing more to see you go from death to life. And I'm telling you, if you're feeling that urge, like, man, God's saying something to me, come and talk to me or someone on my right or left. Come and pray down here at the front. We'd love to talk with you a little bit more about what it means to follow Jesus. But go ahead and stand up. We've got one last song of worship.